association with them.
Good morning. Today's daf is daf mem tes. We were on the bottom of mem ches amid beis, dealing with the subject of down payments. When a person gives collateral over part of that which he's buying, does that thereby make the whole thing his, or only that which is equal to the collateral? So the Gemara says here, Lema Kitanoi, maybe this question is actually a machlokas tanoim. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Because we learned the law in regards to Shemitah. We know that at the end of the Shemitah year, whatever loan a person has that he's lent out to somebody else, and somebody else owes him money, that loan gets waived by Shemitah. Shemitah knocks it out. He's not allowed to collect it as Shemitah ends, after Shemitah. What happens if he already has collected it? Because he lent and he took a collateral. So Hamalvas Chaver al Amashkon, a person who lent his friend and he got a collateral for it. V'nichnasa Shemitah, and then the Shemitah comes in. Aval Pisha Eino Shava Ela Peleg, even though this collateral is only worth half of the value of what he lent, Eino Meshameh, Shemitah will not knock out the loan. Because it can't say to him, lo ye ghost, don't demand from your friend. He doesn't need a demand from his friend. He already has it. That's the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Yudah Anasi says like this. So if the collateral that he has is equal to the full value of the loan, in a meshamet, then he already collected the loan, and then Shemitah doesn't knock out the loan. But if the collateral is not equal to the full value of the loan, there's still a loan here that he wants to collect. So Meshameh, Shemitah says he shouldn't collect it. Ask the Gemara. My Eino Meshameh to come to Reb Shimon Gamliel. What did Reb Shimon Gamliel mean when he says, even if the collateral is worth only half of the loan, because there's a collateral, there's no law that Shemitah knocks out the loan. The loan is not knocked out by Shemitah. Elam, if you're going to say, Kenegdo, that amount equal to the collateral is not knocked out, but the rest that's not equal to the collateral is in fact knocked out by Shemitah. Does that mean the Rabbi Yudah Anasi is of the opinion who disagrees with the B'Shimon Gamliel that even the half that there's a collateral against gets knocked out by Shemitah? Ella Mashkon Nakat Lamale. I don't understand. A guy has a mashkon. If he has the collateral already, you can't tell him, don't collect, lo ye ghost, don't pester. He already collected. Elalav Shmamina. So what must it be? My Eino Meshameh Tekom Reb Shimon Gamliel. What does Reb Shimon Gamliel mean that when you have a collateral worth half of that which you lent, Shemitah is not going to knock out the loan? It means Eino Meshameh Bekulo. Shemitah is not going to knock out the entirety of the loan. The entirety of the loan is not going to be knocked out because part of the loan already has a collateral against it. Umay Meshameh Tekom Reb Yudah Anasi. When Reb Yudah Anasi says no, in that case there would be the loan knocked out. It means Lach Palgad the loan not going to lay mashkon. The part of the loan that doesn't have collateral against it would be knocked out by Shemitah. But the part of the loan that has collateral against it is not knocked out by Shemitah, because that was already collected. And therefore, if you have collateral equal to the entirety of the loan, none of it is knocked out by Shemitah. So what's the argument? Uvaha kamiflagi. This is the argument. The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds. Kineged kulo ukone. When you give a partial deposit, or when you give a collateral over part of the loan, you've acquired, right? When that guy gave me a collateral for part of the loan, I have acquired the entirety of the loan. Rabbi Yudah Anasi says, no, Kenegdo Hukona, since he only gave me a collateral for part of the loan, I've acquired part of the loan, that which is equal to the collateral, but not the entirety of the loan. So Gemara says, lo, not necessarily. What did Reb Shimon Gamliel mean when he says that if I have a collateral equal to half of the loan, then there is no Shemitah knocking out of the loan? It doesn't mean that Shemitah is not knocking out the loan at all, because a partial payment is like a whole payment. That's not what Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying. What does Reb Shimon Gamliel mean when he says Shemitah is not going to knock out the loan because I have a collateral on part of it? The part that the collateral covers is not knocked out by Shemitah. So let's say I lent him $100 and he gave me a collateral worth $50. $50 is not knocked out by Shemitah, but $50 is knocked out by Shemitah. That means Rabbi Yehuda holds. And even the 50 that I have a mashkon against gets knocked out by Shemitah. Go back to the same question. Once I got the mashkon, once I got the collateral, what did that accomplish for me? The whole point of the collateral is that I've already collected. The Torah says, lo ye ghost, don't go pester your friend to collect from him. I've already collected. I have the collateral in my hand. No, the answer is no, I haven't collected. According to Yehuda, when I have a collateral, if it's only partial to the value, it's just a way to remind me to go collect the loan. It's not that I've collected part of the loan. I haven't collected part of the loan. I have a reminder. Don't forget about the loan. Go collect it. So since all I have is a reminder, come Shemitah, Shemitah knocks out the entirety of the loan. But if I would have a collateral apparently against the entirety of the loan, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Shemitah does not knock out the loan.
Rabbi, is it different if it's against land, collateral against land versus a movable? Same thing?
The difference you're saying if the collateral is land?
Right.
I don't think so. No, it doesn't sound like it.
Same concept.
Yeah.
So Rabbi, at the Shemitah time, what is this? He brings the collateral back to him and then he gets 50% of the loan that he owes him, whatever it is. Is that how it works? Or he keeps the collateral and he dismisses the loan? Well,
keeps the collateral and dismisses the other half.
The other half.
So basically loans that have no collateral are the ones that they cancel the Shemitah. But if a loan has collateral...
Full collateral. Full contribute, Anasi, full collateral. Contribute, Shem Gamliel. Collateral equal to the amount
but
that
only,
it's worth.
But only if it's collateral that you have acquired, if it's immovable.
Yeah, right. That sounds like... That's right. You've already taken it. That's right. Right, you actually have to have it. So now a story. Dealing with the issues of this chapter. Rav Kahana... Yahavu Le, they gave to him, buyers gave to him Zuzi coins, Akitna for flax. But the buyers did not lift the flax. And that's what we learned in our Mishnah, that giving the coins doesn't yet acquire something. Lasof Iker Kitna, the flax went up in value. So Rav Kahana figured, you know what? I'll give him back the coins, I'll keep the flax. Because now the flax is more valuable. Asalakame de Rav. So he went to Rav. Is he allowed to do that? Amale. So Rav said to him, the amount of coins that you took equal to that amount of flax, give them. Havalu, give them the flax. Based on that earlier price. V'idach, but the rest of the flax that you'd agreed to pay to them, to give to them at that price, but they hadn't yet paid for it. They haven't given you the money for that amount yet. Dvarim ninu, that was just words. Dvarim eimeh mishabuchus yamar. When there's just an agreement of words, for you to change your mind is not going to be a problem of the rabbis not being happy with people being dishonest. Ditma, as we learned. Dvarim, if there was only a verbal agreement, I and you agreed that you'd pay me 100 for whatever, a bunch of suits that I have, but you never gave me the $100 yet, and you haven't lifted the suit. Rav Amar Rav said, "Ein be mishum chusar yamar." If I want to change my mind, if you want to change your mind, that's not going to be something where the rabbis are upset that a person's being dishonest. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Yo, yesh be mishum chusar yamar." That is a problem of being dishonest. So ask the Gemara on this story, Mesa. We learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda said, Matam Alomer, why does the Torah say that all of your weights and measures should be honest? And then the Torah lists the different weights. It says, Hin Sadek. What do you mean? Hin, Bechlal Eifaya. Hin is part of the Eifa weight. It already said that the Eifa weight should be honest. So why did it add Hin? And Alomer Lecha to tell you, Shehei Hein Shalchat Sadek. Hin is like the word Hein, yes. Your yes should be honest. Lav Shalchat Sadek. Your no should be honest. Whatever you say, it should be honest. So how could you say that, you know, words, verbal agreement is not a problem to back down? your yes should be honest. So if you had a verbal agreement to give a certain amount of material for a certain amount of price, how could you back down? How could Rav tell Rav Kahana, I know you agreed to sell the flax at a certain price. Now flax has gone up. So just the amount of money that they gave you, opposite that amount of money, give them the flax. But beyond that, you don't. What do you mean you don't? It was an agreement. Amar Abai explained, when that price is said, your yes should be a yes and your no should be a no, it means that at the time when you say a yes, don't intend to say a yes and thinking, but I really mean no. But if you meant yes, but then circumstances change, you're allowed to change your mind. So Rav Kahana had said, I'm going to sell you flax at, let's say, $1 a bushel. And the guy said, okay, I want 50 bushels. Here's $10. And now the bushels have gone up to be worth $10 each bushel. So Rav Kahana can say, you know what? The facts changed. I intended to sell it to you at $1 a bushel, but now the facts have changed. So now I want $10 a bushel. But those 10 bushels that you already bought, by giving me the $10, then I'll give you. That's what Rav was telling him. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, I eat that price. You shouldn't say one thing in your mouth with something else intended at that time in the heart. But if you were sincere at the time, but there was no money that was transferred, and now you want to go back on your words because the realities have changed, that's what Rav was telling Rav Kahana a person could do.
Rabbi, he didn't have to lift up the bushels?
No, if he would have lifted the bushels, then he would have gotten everything. Then the deal would have been done. He didn't lift the bushels. He didn't even pay all of the money. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, we learned in another brisa. Rabbi Shimon says, Afal pisha amru, even though the sages said, Talis kona dinar zav, the lifting of a talis acquires the golden dinar. But ain't dinar zav, but paying the golden dinar doesn't yet acquire kona satalis, doesn't acquire the talis. Mikomakum kach halacha, even though this is the halacha, that the seller of the talis who got the dinar zav can change his mind and say, you know, I'll give back to you the dinar zav. You never lifted the talis. I don't want to sell the talis anymore. Aval amru, but the sages said, Mishapar Machidora Bamu Machidora Palaga, God who punished the people of the flood and the people of the dispersion. Who asili parmi Mishain Omid Bidiburo, he's going to punish the people who don't keep their word. So you see that even word is something that's an issue. A verbal agreement is an issue. How could Rav say that a verbal agreement doesn't matter? And so the Gemara, really it's a Tanoihi. You know what? You're right. This mission is against Rav. But there's another Tana who's like Rav. It's an argument of the Tanaim. It's not because we learned in a Mishnah, Maisa, Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya. There was a story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya. Shamar Lipno, he told his son, say, go out, hire for us workers. Halach, he went, and the workers said, you know, we want to get lunch. Pasuk Lemazonas, he said, no problem, we'll give you guys lunch. Ukishabai, it's a love, when he went to his father, Amar Lo, he said to him, Bini, my son, even if you would give them a meal as generous as King Solomon used to give when he was the ruler, you still wouldn't have given them enough. Because you are your Jews, and Jews are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They deserve a lot. Ella, so you know what? Actually, before they start doing the job for us, when it's still just words, tell them, we're giving you lunch, but it's not much lunch. We're giving you bread and a little kitnis, a little bit of vegetables. Now, if you're going to say that a verbal agreement, you can't retract, because if you retract it, it's being dishonest. So, tell the son, Zil Hadarbe, go change your mind with them, go change the deal. You had already agreed to something. He had agreed to a more generous lunch. How could he now turn around and say, no, my father only meant a less generous lunch? So, Rabbi Yochanan, who tells you that a verbal agreement has to be kept, it would be dishonest to change it, and he didn't like the psak of Rav to Rav Kahana, that Rav Kahana could change his mind about the flax, now that the flax had gone up in value since he hadn't gotten paid for all of the flax. So he'll tell you, no, shiny hasam, that case of workers was different. The workers never really relied on what the son told them. My time of why? They said, Alavu Asamach. Obviously, the son tells us that he's giving us a very generous lunch, but he needs to hear from his father. Who knows what his father's going to say? Asks the Gemara, Yachi, if that's the case. Afilu itchilu bimalacha nami. Even if they began doing, the work as well, he should be able to change his mind, because the workers never, even if the workers began doing the work, the employer should change his mind, because the workers never were relying on what the son told them. So the Gemara says, no. Once the workers started to work, he can't change how much lunch he's giving them. Because at that point, they were fully sure that they were going to get what they had been promised. Because they say to themselves, if we're not working in the father's stuff, must be that the son who hired us and promised us the big meal told father, and the father had agreed to it.
But why him making a commitment to give them food would make them expect a banquet as opposed to...
Apparently he had made a commitment of a very generous amount.
Rabbi, do you equate this verbal commitment with some kind of neder? Is that the same?
That's an interesting question, but no.
Yes or no?
It's not, because a neder has a certain formal way to express it, right? You have to say it, and we had many discussions about how to say it the right way. It's not, though. It's not a neder. Neder is an oath by God. It's not an oath. It's a verbal commitment.
That is the most important.
That's only with a neder, but that's a karban. No, it's not a reference to this.
It's stronger even than neder.
So the Gemara now asks, so me, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan say that when, even though there's a verbal agreement also can't be rejected? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Bar Chana said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Homo lechaveiro, if a person tells his friends, Matana, ani nosein lacha, I'm giving you a gift. Yachol la'azerbo, he can then change his mind and say, no, I decided not to give the gift. Yachal, he could give the gift, could change his mind. Sheet, of course, and he could change his mind. Ella, what did Rabbi Yochanan mean to say? He's allowed to just change his mind because it was just words. Amrav Papa, Rav Papa said what he said, he's allowed to change his mind. It's only referring to a big gift. But Moder Rabbi Yochanan would say he can't change his mind, in a small gift. Why? Because if I told my friend I'm giving him a small gift, he was sure he was going to do it. He was sure, he was relying on me that I was going to do that, and therefore I can't change my mind. It says the Gemara, Achanan Mistabra, that also makes sense. That Rabbi Yochanan holds it when there's a small gift, he can't possibly change his mind. He could change his mind, but if he would, it would be Mechusari Amanak. The sages would be upset. Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, a story. Yisrael Shamar Ben Levi. If a Jew tells a Levite, kur, it's a huge amount, kur maaser, a kur of the first tithe, which is given to the Levites, yesh lecha biyadi, I have it, and I'm intending to give it to you. The Ben Levi, Rashoi, can now turn around, lasoso, and make that kur, chumas maaser, you know, the tithe on the maaser, al makom acher, for maaser that he has somewhere. Now, one second, yeah, Bishlama, Lomatim, Lahadere. If you're going to say he can't change his mind, Mishamachi Rashoi, that's what the Levi can assume. I have a promise that I'm going to get a gift. I know I'm going to get it. Therefore, I can go give it away already as Trumas Meiser. Eliyamrit, if you're going to say even with a small amount, can't change your mind, he could change your mind. And Matzi, Lomahadere, this giver could have changed his mind. Amai Rashoi, why could the Levi already turn it into Trumas Meiser? Maybe the giver is going to change his mind. It'll turn out that it never was his. And if it was never given to him, he's going to end up eating that which he can't eat. Tevel, food that didn't have maaser separated from it. Right. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe that's a different case. Maybe that's the case. Where the Levi already got that maaser. He lifted it. And he gave it back to the Israel to watch it for him. And that's why he could use it and make it into Trumas Meiser. So Gemara says, no, if you'd already give it back, Ema Seifa, read the words of Rabbi Yochanan at the end there. Nasno, but if this Yisrael who promised the kur gave the kur, Leben Levi Acher, to a different Levi, Ein lo alav elav taromas, the first Levi who was promised only has a complaint. Now, Yisrael kadaitach, not lo mimenu v'chazer v'fkidu etzel, if you're going to say that the case is that the Levi actually lifted the Meiser and gave it back to him, why, if he would then turn around and give it to a different Levi, the first Levi only has a complaint. Once the first Levi took it, it belonged to him. And if that guy took the Levi's money and gave it to somebody else, he's a thief. So the case is, but he didn't take it. It's just words. Shvamina, that's a good proof. Another story. Ahu Gavra, there was a man, Yoiv Zuzi Ashumshimi. He gave coins for sesames. I don't know, maybe he gave $100 for lots of sesames. Lusof Iker Sumshimi. Now the sesame prices went up. Hajibu, the sellers didn't want to give the sesame. They wanted to sell it to somebody else for the higher price. Amrule. So they said to the buyer, Leslan Sumsimi, we don't have the sesame anymore to give to you. Shkol Zuzach, here, take back your money. Lo Shakil Zuzach, he refused to take it back.
So the Trumat the Maser that he promised to give to Yaakov, he's a Levi. He has to give it to him, or yeah. He could give it to Ishaq, the other Levi.
No.
To Ishaq.
It was, first of all, it was Maser.
Not Ishaq ben Chaim.
It was Maser that he promised to give the Levi, not Shumas Maser. And since it was a small amount, since when he promised it, he has to fulfill his word. And since he has to fulfill the word, the Levi can assume that the word will be fulfilled, and it's his. And he can already turn it into Trumas Meiser.
But if one hungry, another hungry Levi comes in at the same time.
Not a lot, no.
Give a portion of it to the other.
No, he already said he's giving it to somebody else.
So that's it?
Yeah, it would be Mechusari Amar. It would be dishonest. So again, a story. Hahu Gavra, there was a man, the Yaev Zuzi, gave coins, asumsami for sesames. Lesof Iker Sumsami. But before he could take delivery of the sesames, the price of the sesames went up. Hajubuhu, so the sellers didn't want to deliver the sesame. Amrule, they told the buyer, Leslan Sumsami, we don't have the sesame anymore. Shkol Zuzach, you know what? Give us the money back. We'll give you the money back. You take it back. Lo shakul zuzi. He didn't want to take the money back. He didn't take it back. Ignuv. And then the money was stolen. Asa l'kami de Rava. So they went to Rava. Amar lei. So Rava said, Kivan de amri lach. Once the seller told you, shkol zuzach, take the money back. The lo shaklis, and you didn't take it back. So now it's your problem. Lo mi boya shomasach lo havi. He's no longer a paid watchman, certainly. They're not even unpaid watchmen. They don't want to have it. They don't want to have it. They're not responsible. Amru le Rabbanan le Rava. So the Rabbanan said to Rava, Vabai le Kibuli ale Mishapara. But maybe these people, the guys selling the sesame, don't realize what they're doing. They had said they were going to sell the sesame for a certain price. They were given that price. Okay, the deal wasn't done because the sesame wasn't taken yet. But now that they're changing their mind, they are deserving of a curse. So maybe we should have told them, you know, you're deserving of a curse. And once we would have told them, they wouldn't have changed their minds. Amaluhu, Sarava said, Achanami. Yeah, we're talking about a case where they actually said, yeah, we don't care that we're getting the curse. We want to change our mind. And then their mind is changed. The money goes back. And in fact, the guy who refused to take the money back doesn't have a claim against them. Amar Rav Papa said, Amar li Ravina. Ravina said to me, Lididi Amar li Ahum Rabbanan. One of the students said to me, Rav Tavu Shmei, was Rav Tavus his name? Amri le, some say it's Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra was his name. And he said like this, Di'i avi yavi le, kol chalol de alma, lo avakam eshani b'dibure. And he was a person that even if you would give him all the money in the world or all the hidden treasures of the world, he wouldn't change his words. So, you know, he's a very, very honest man. So he told me that that story wasn't what we said. It wasn't that it was a man who was selling sesames, trying to change his mind because the price went up. He said, the story was exactly with me. And it was the following. Ahu Yoma, that day, Apanya Demali Shabsahava. It was the end of a Friday. The sun was setting on a Friday. It's right before Shabbos. Hava Yasif, and I was sitting. Vasahu Gavra, a man came with Koya Bava. He stood by the door. Farmalin, he said, Isli Sumsumi Lizabuni. He said to me, Isla Sumsumi Lizabuni. Do you have sesame to sell? Now turning the page to Mem Testament days. Amri Le, I said to him, Lo, I don't have any sesame to sell. Amali, he said to me, Lehevi anach zuzi pikodon gabach. Ta'achashchuli. You know what? He said, the sun is setting. It's about to be Shabbos. I brought money to buy sesames. You don't have any sesames. You know what? Here, you watch my money. Amri, I said to him, listen, habesa kamach. here's my house. I'm not promising to watch your money, but here's my house. You don't want to carry the money on Shabbos, here's my house. Osvina Bebesa, he put it into my house. The ignorant, it was stolen. Aslakame de Rava, he came to Rava. He said, you know what? Here is this man, he was watching it for me. Amarlei, so Rava said, no. Kala Besa Kamach, a man who says, you know what? Here's my house, you can put it in my house, but I'm not taking any responsibility. Let me buy a Shomer Sachad Lohavi. Certainly he's not a paid watchman. El Afilo Shomer Chinam Nami Lohavi. He's not even an unpaid watchman. And that was the story. So Rav Papi continued and he said, Amri Le, they told that rabbi, Iva Amri Le Rabban Le Rava, Iboy Le Kabul Le Misha Para. How could you tell me it was a different story? It was a man who wanted to buy sesames. You never agreed to sell him sesames. You just told him that he had access to your house if he wanted to, and you're not even responsible for watching it. I thought that we said in that story that they said, but you should have, they should have told the seller he's going to have a problem of Misha Para by changing his mind. Amalia said, no, that was an inflated story with the original story. That's not what happened. Lo ha'yudvara me'olam. That never happened. Never happened. It was never that the rabbi said back to Rava, but the seller is putting himself in jeopardy. It never was that. That wasn't what happened. So we have two versions in terms of what happened here with the sesames. Either what happened with the sesames was that a person had gone to a sesame seller, and they had agreed on a price, and he had paid the price, and then the sesames went up in value, and the sesame seller said, okay, I'm changing, you can take the money back, I'm not giving you the sesames, I don't have it. The man said, I refuse to take the money back, and then the money was stolen, so the seller is not responsible, because he was out, he said, you can take your money back, I don't want to have it anymore, he's not a shomer at all. But the Rava said, had the seller not been informed that by changing his mind he's getting a curse, so then this wouldn't be the case. You'd have to inform him. And only then would we say he's out of the whole deal. Now we have another version. Maybe that's not what happened at all. It wasn't that the man had actually taken money. It was that there was a guy who sells sesame. And people came to him right before Shabbos saying, we want to buy sesame. And he said, I don't have any sesame to sell. So he'd never taken the money. The man said, well, it's right before Shabbos. I can't hold on to the money. So what am I going to do with it? Watch it for me. He said, no, I'm not going to watch it for you, but you can put it in my house if you want. And then it was stolen. So since he had never agreed to be responsible, therefore he was not responsible for the theft. A different version of what happened. Going back to our Mishnah, says that if one person pays and he hasn't yet lifted the object that he paid for, so kol shakesef yado, the person that he paid the money to, he has the ability to change his mind, yado al yona. But he, the payer, the buyer, does not have the ability to change his mind. Because he already gave the money. Tanya went into Bryce. Amar Rabbi Shimon said, Emasai, when do we say that the seller could change his mind? Bizman Shah Kesifa Peros Biyad Mocher, where the seller has the money. And the seller still has the fruit. Avol Kesif Biyad Mocher. But if the seller has the money, Uperos Biyad Lokeach, put the fruit already in the hands of the buyer. The buyer already lifted the item. So now the seller cannot change his mind. Because his money is in his hand. What? Biyado, the money is in his hand. The buyer has the money. Biyad mocherhu, the money is in the hand of the seller. Ella, what it means is shedmei kaspo, the value of the money is biyado, is in his hand. In other words, why did he give me money? To get the fruit. That was what the value was for. He got the fruit. He has it. And therefore, the deal is done. So the question is, of course, Pshitz, of course, once the deal is done, the deal is done. What's the point? Even Rabbi Shimon agrees you can't change your mind once the fruit was delivered. Of course, the fruit was delivered. The deal's done. Amar Rava, Rava said, Achav b'may askina, what's the case here? This attic of the buyer, where he has the fruit, is muskeres biyad mocher, is rented out to the seller. So in other words, the buyer comes to the seller. He says, okay, I'll pay you for the fruit. And the seller says, fine, the fruit that's in the attic, that had been your attic, but I rented it from you, is yours. But he never actually lifted the fruit. So even though he didn't lift the fruit, he cannot, neither can change their mind anymore. Because why? Because really, midoraisa, paying for the money already acquires the fruit. But we saw that it's a din derabanan that you have to lift the fruit to own it. Time might kinu rabbanan mashicha. Why did the rabbis institute that you have to lift the movable? Zera shema. It's a fear because maybe there'll be a fire and the seller won't, you know, work hard to save the grain, and therefore we said you, the seller, have an option of maybe getting more money with this grain because you can change your mind if the price goes up. That'll give you a motivation to save the grain from a fire. So we're worried that Shema Yomer Lo is going to tell him your grain got burned in the second floor. Hacha, but here since the second floor is right next to where the buyer lives because the second floor had belonged to the buyer and he had rented it out to the seller. So therefore, enough with Lake of Bahones, if there's going to be a fire, Ihu, the buyer, Tarach, Umaisila, is going to go do the hard work to save the grain from the fire. So we don't have to make a law for such a scenario. We can go back to the biblical law that the money itself acquired. And since he gave the money, he owns the grain. Yeah, according to Reish Lakish, it wouldn't be so, right? It weren't Reb Yochanan, which is the way we pass him. Ha'u gavra, there was a man, the Yaiv Zuzi Achamra, who gave money to a seller for a donkey. L'sof, and then he heard that the government wants the donkey. The tax man's coming. The Kabayla Mitzvah Devei Parzak Rufila, the people of Parzak, the viceroy, are coming for that donkey. Amarleh, so this guy, the buyer of the donkey, said to the seller, Havli Zuzi, give me back my money. Lo b'ina chamra, I don't want to have the donkey, because if I take the donkey, if I take delivery of what I paid for, the taxman's going to take it. Asa l'kamed Rav Chizda. So the seller went to Rav Chizda. Amarleh, so Rav Chizda said, yes, the buyer can back out. The same way we said that if the item hasn't been lifted, the seller can change his mind. They also made this rabbinic law that if the buyer hasn't yet lifted the donkey, he can change his mind. So the next mission takes us into the topic called Ona'a. Ona'a is mentioned in the Torah, Parshas Bechukosai. A person's not allowed to overcharge his friend for a movable item. So if I overcharge less than a sixth, then everybody forgives it. If it was a sixth, the amount of overcharged money has to go back, but the deal stays. If it was more than a sixth, it's a mekachtos, it was a false accusation under false representations, and the whole deal is reversed. Ha'onah, when we talk about returning the overcharging, it's like this. It's arba kasef, it's 4 ma of silver. May esrim varba kasef lesela. When a sela is going for 24 ma of silver, so it's 1/6, 4 ma of silver. Shtus lemekach, a sixth of the sale. Ad masai mutter lahazir, how long do you, the buyer, have to, how long do you have to return to demand this money back or to return the object if it was an overcharge of more than a sixth? You have the following amount of time, ad kadei shiyara letaga, enough time to show it to a merchant, o lekrovo, or to your relative, to ask him if you were overcharged and to figure out that you were overcharged. However, ho Rabbi Tarfon ben Lud, Rabbi Tarfon and Lud had a different set of rules. He said, the law of Onah is Shmona Kasef. It's 8 ma of Kasef, Me'asim v'arba Kasef l'sela, out of 24 ma Kasef to a sela. In other words, Shlish l'mekach, a third of the purchase price. Only if there was a third overcharging does the seller have to return that amount. So Samchu Tagare Lud, so the merchants in Lud were very happy. Oh, we're going to make big profits. Amalhem Rabbi Tarfon said, yeah, it's true, but he has longer for returns. Kalayo Mutter Lazar, he has a whole day that he could return it. Amrulo, they said, you know, Yeniachlanu Rabbi Tarfon Mekomenu, we would rather go back to the other place to only be able to get a sixth, but not to be able to have to take returns for so long. V'chazlu Divrei Chachamim, they went back to the words of the sages.